I don't have a sheaf of notes like Pastor Jim does. He has a pile of notes. I just got one piece of paper. That means I probably only preach about 15 minutes. But Jim says you can go till 2 o'clock if you want. Yeah. Well, we sang that song, His Name is Wonderful. It's number 203 in the hymn book. It's very interesting. Hymns 200, 201, and 202 are all the same words, but different melodies to all hail the power of Jesus' name. Then 203 is His Name is Wonderful. 204 is Glorious is His Name. 205 is Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And then finally in 206 Blessed be the name. We've sung that all this time. All the time we sing it about the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering at what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Our Holy Father, we come before you today. We thank you for that name, the name of Jesus, that at his knees that every person will bow and confess that he is Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can know that name and we can know Jesus personally. We ask, Father, that you speak to us this morning. I pray that you'd use me this morning to speak to me. Father, that your word would be the thing that would come forth. Change our hearts, O Lord. Change us as this world crumbles about us. Father, your holy hand be upon us today. Speak to us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The name Jesus Christ means Yahweh is salvation. Simple as that. And Yahweh is the Hebrew name for God. He is the Most High. It is the name above all names. He is God in the flesh. He has come to save his people. And that was the prophecy that it was outlined by the angel Gabriel. Philippians 2, from verses 5 to 11, says that every knee will bow, because they have bestowed upon Jesus a name above all names, a superior name, and I'm thankful that we can know him today. We have to understand of why God would send him. We needed a Savior. This world needs a Savior today more than ever before. Sin is running rampant. Every human being is a sinner. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. That every man, we all are sinners. It's built into us. You think, well, you know, we try to be good enough, and we just can't be good enough. But you set two-year-olds down with a set of blocks, and one of them will sit there with those blocks and pile it up, and you know what the other one does? Bam, right? And the blocks go tumbling up because we are natural terrorists. Isn't that terrible? That's something. Every one of us. You watch when somebody cuts you off in traffic. How do you act? I ask the Lord, Lord, don't let me get angry above all. And the worst of it was, when Rachel was home, I'd get upset. And I'd ask the Lord, forgive me, Father. She cannot help it. Forgive me. But it's a natural thing built within us. And we have no rescue from it whatsoever. And God, Yahweh, is salvation. Jesus Christ. He came to rescue us from that sin. We cannot have a perfect day. I don't care. You know, I make all kinds of mistakes. I said, Lord, don't let me do anything too stupid today. I pray before I drive because I'm getting, you know, a little fuzzy in the brain in driving. And this Chevrolet's got more stuff in it that, you know, distractions. It's so easy. The Lord, don't let me hurt anybody today because I'm a natural, cannot have a perfect day. No matter what. We need a Savior above all. Jesus came to save us from our own self-destruction. Our own, every bit of sin destroys us every time we do. And listen, you're listening to a sinner. I'm just as champion sinner as anybody else. I just have the outbursts of anger. The wrong thoughts come across my mind. We're natural terrorists. Is there any other way to get delivered? It's very interesting. I should have wrote it down, but I was riding, listening to Christian radio, and they had on SRN News a Barner poll of, do you think there is any other way of salvation beside Jesus? In the Barna poll, there was approximately, they said it was 80% of people who say that they are Christians feel there's some other way, that other people that don't know Jesus are going to make it into heaven. They're going to have forgiveness of sin. And somehow, God says sin's not going to enter into heaven. It's just not there. Hallelujah. Well, it's going to be great when we get there. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Hallelujah. And shout the victory. We're going to be there. And it's going to be clear of us once and for all, if you know Jesus. That Barna poll said the people felt there was more than one path into heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of good people who are not Christians. They're good people. They must be good enough to get there, right? And my feeling is, sorry, the scripture says there's only one way. The importance of that name, the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only way. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, says, Peter says to the Sanhedrin, there is no other name in heaven and earth whereby man can be saved. No other name, the name of Jesus. We go back to our text today in Luke chapter 1. That great moment, the angel speaks to Mary in verse 30 and 31. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. There's where Jesus comes onto the scene, before she is conceived. And it's interesting that he calls the gender. Nowadays, we got ultrasound, and we know what the gender's going to be after I don't know how many months. But you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. Well, I like to put things in chronological order. In the text that we read today, we started in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. The angels are messengers, and Gabriel is a messenger from God. He is carrying the message. He has one specific goal. God said, Gabriel, go tell Mary that she's going to have a son, and his name is going to be called Jesus. Gabriel goes and presents that message. But I want to look back of this sixth month, because we're referring to John the Baptist, referring to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And I want to go there in Luke chapter 1, back up to verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child. Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Now I want to back up just a little bit here. This is quite an event. We find in verse 5, he is of the division of Abijah. The priestly orders were divided up into 24 orders. The 24 orders you would find listed in that great list of names in 1 Chronicles 24. King David appointed these orders, and Abijah is one of those orders. There's 24 of the orders. I couldn't find out how they determined what month or when these would perform, but considering there's 24 of them, they probably perform for 2 weeks, and then the next order would perform. And the priestly duty, their duties that they would go up to the temple and perform their duties at their given time. Abijah was the eighth order. So of the 24, they're number 8. And that's spelled out in 1 Chronicles 24. I don't know how many people would be in each order. There's nothing that I could seem to find that would give us that amount. But I'm going to throw a guess out that probably at least 20 of all, they're all priests, and they're all going up to the temple at their appointed time. Now, when they get up to the temple, it says that they cast lots. It says that according to the custom of the priestly office, in verse 9, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. He would be the only one who would go in. Nobody else would be in there. He would go up to that altar of the incense and burn the incense. Chosen by lot. Now, I don't know whether they drew straws or whether they had dice or what, but it was some method they had of being able to cast lots to determine who would go. Probably, Zacharias had been up many times over the years. They would go once a year, and somebody else would be chosen. To get that one time, probably in a lifetime, that he would be the one chosen to go in and to burn the incense. I don't know if they ever went through a rehearsal. How did they know when they went in there? Nobody else was in there, just him alone, to walk in there by himself. And I would imagine inside that temple, if I was to go in that place, I would be in awe. I'd be looking at the ceiling, I'd be looking at the curtains, looking at the gold around it. This altar of incense is in there, and what's the Hanukkah candles? I have a loss for words nowadays, but I know very well. But he would be in awe in there. So he's in to perform his job. And all the multitude of people are outside praying this time. Nobody else in the temple, but that's pretty good, huh? I think when Pastor Jim's preaching, it's a good thing to pray for him while he's preaching. And I'll tell you, he appreciates every prayer he can get. Preachers need the prayer. He says, while he's there, in verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. I can catch that picture now as he's before the altar and he's presenting the incense, and and all of a sudden, right here is an angel. Just like that. How would you feel? I don't know about you, but I'd be stunned. We saw Mary, she was perplexed at this moment, but Zacharias, he's frightened, and I surely would be too, this appearance of a being right beside. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name of John. His petition, this elderly couple, can you imagine? I've known childless couples, and actually in my first marriage, my wife and I were childless for 7 years. We wondered if something was wrong with us, that we couldn't have children. Well, there's one sitting there, and there's three others too, but we didn't start having kids like everybody else till later on in our marriage. For some reason, God held off with Zachariah and Elizabeth. And all that time, he says, for your petition has been heard. How many times do you suppose Zacharias and Elizabeth presented their petition before God? Lord, and Elizabeth will say later on that her disgrace will be among women. They look at her as insufficient. And here we are later on. God's perfect timing. We can present prayer requests after prayer requests, and we can pray and pray and pray, and we say, well, Lord, we don't see anything happening to it. James chapter 5 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Keep on presenting your prayer requests and your petition, because God will answer. It may take a long time, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, but God answered the prayer through Gabriel. Your request has been heard, your petition has been heard. And guarantee, when you utter that prayer, God hears it. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you'll give him a name, John. We'll look at that a little more. You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Imagine that, this elderly couple having the baby. Wow. He will be a great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. That's a key verse right there. While he's in his mother's womb, and we'll see that, he jumps off the page. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent, the angel, the messenger, I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Well, outside, the people were waiting for Zacharias. What's happening there? He ought to be coming out by now. I mean, how long does it take to burn the incense? And he's not coming out. Maybe something's happened. And so they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple when he came out, and he kept making signs, but he remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. And that's when we get into the passage today. In the sixth month, in her, she is 5 months pregnant. And during her 6 months of pregnancy, Gabriel comes to Mary with a message that she will bear a son, and she will call his name Jesus. Well, after Mary's encounter with the angel, I want to keep going with this. In verse 39, now at this time, as soon as Mary acknowledged, as whatever the Lord wants, that I will do, at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry, King James says, went in haste to the hill country to a city of Judah. Now, she is from Nazareth, remember? As we started to read today, says that, verse 26, Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, Pastor Jim cited Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that God himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive. And here we see this prophecy fulfilled. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says that from the territories of Zebulun and Naphtali, whoever heard of them, way up there in the north, will come the Savior. He's coming out of that area. That's where Nazareth is, in the territory of Naphtali and Zebulun. Those two tribes never had anything significant come out of them, and here comes the Savior. Surprising who God will use in this world. Every person is placed on earth with a purpose, and God has got a purpose for all of us, and we are to be about doing what God sent us to do. Mary immediately, as soon as she had finished speaking with Gabriel, she left Nazareth in the north country and headed down into Judea in the Jerusalem area. Verse 39, at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." I remember we looked in chapter 1, verse 15. It said that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So here in that sixth month, when Mary walks into the room, John leaps within Elizabeth. Now, the Holy Spirit, Mary, has conceived, and she, in her womb, has a baby who is no more than days old. The very presence of coming into the room. We have these arguments today, and we have some major cases coming up before the Supreme Court to overturn, possibly, Roe versus Wade. The value of every human life, and those are human lives. And we can see this here as these two babies responded one to the other. When Jesus came into the room, John jumped, and they were in the mother's womb, as human as you and I were there. I'm not going to read Mary's response there, verses 46 to 55. You can do that this afternoon when you get a few moments to finish the story. But in the interest of time and to carry on, I want to move down verse 56. Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and then she returned to her home. That's a question I want to ask the Lord when I get there, is why didn't Mary stay? She's 9 months now. She's due any moment. Why don't you stay and see the baby John be born? But she didn't. At that point, I guess the Lord sent her, she went back home. She went back to Nazareth before John is born, probably a couple of weeks before he's born. So we look at Elizabeth. Remember, there's something about that name, the name of Jesus. Now, it came that the time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. What a happy time that must have been, just joy that this baby, and she gave birth in her old age. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother said, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "Well, there's no one among your relatives who is called by that name." Now, I find that's very interesting. I remember when I was small, my sister and I, my sister Ellen, my only sibling, we were probably maybe 5, 6 years old. We asked my mother and my mother and father, "How come you gave us these names, Ellen and Alfred? Where did you ever come up with them?" And my mother said, "We searched through all the relatives, and we wanted you to have a name that did not reflect on the relatives, because somebody would say, 'Oh yeah, you named them after Aunt Louise's baby, or something like that. We wanted your name to be independent of any relatives whatsoever.'" So that figures. So here, "There's no one among your relatives who's called by that name." They made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. He asked for a tablet, and he wrote as follows: "His name is John." And they were all astonished at that name. And at once, his mouth was open, his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Well, I guess so. And fear came all on all those living around them. And all these matters were talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly on him." Well, the name of Jesus carries on. Mary returned to Nazareth. Now, she's 3 months pregnant. She stayed with Elizabeth 3 months. I want to go to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll pick up Joseph's side of the story. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. When she returned to Nazareth after being gone 3 months," can you picture what was going through Joseph's mind? I think they dearly loved each other. They dearly were a couple meant to be together, and they certainly were God's chosen, as I found that Mary found favor with God. It kind of reminds me of Job, when Job was blameless and upright and feared the Lord, and God said that of Job, that he was blameless and fearless, and that's the way Joseph and Mary were. They were godly. They were God's chosen couple to bring this child in. I wonder if God could find anybody, any couples around like this today. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. I can imagine the gossip and the talk that there would be, that Mary's been away and she's come back pregnant now. And by the Old Testament, why, she should have been taken outside the gate and stoned to death. But Joseph tried to think of a way. How can I send her away? She's too beautiful, and she's lovely, and I love her. I don't want to see her destroyed. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What did he tell Mary? You shall call his name Jesus. And remember, both are told it will be a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Two of them, both of them. And he will save his people from their sins. Exactly. That's what he came to do. He came to save his people. He came to save you and I from our sin, from our wrongdoing. Us that can't have a perfect day, he'll take it and make it into something good. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, which Pastor Jim read this morning. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. And I noticed that both Mary and both Joseph did as the Lord had directed them. What a wonderful thing to do what God has directed us to do. Can't beat that at all. It's the best way. He kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And what did he do? He called his name Jesus. Yahweh brings salvation. We're not done yet, but we're getting close. I want to go back to Luke. We go to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21. When 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And I notice now that there is no controversy. There's no one in Joseph's heritage or Mary's heritage whose name is like that. It's a unique name, a name coming about for the first time. There's no questioning about it. There's no relatives. Shouldn't call him Jesus, but he is. It had to be that name, for there's no other name. And as Peter told the Sanhedrin, there's no other name by which we can be saved, only through Christ. And the reason, he was perfect. He was God in the flesh. There was no sin in him. He was not like you and I. Every human being has sin, but not Jesus. And because he is with sin free, he is the only one who can rescue us from our sin. From all our wrongdoing, he forgets and he forgives our wrongdoing as far as the east is from the west. And he's the only one. He's the name above all names. There's something about that name, Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. There is no other way we can work out our salvation. We can try to be as good as we can be. We can get up and vow that today I'm not going to make the same stupid mistakes I made yesterday. I'm going to concentrate upon the Lord today. And as soon as we get up and as soon as we start to move, immediately our old self takes over. He's the only one who can rescue us, the Lord Jesus. And he will give us, he's the name that gives us peace, a name that gives us love, the name that gives us strength. There's something about that name, the name of Jesus. A lot of people don't want Jesus because they want their sin to be okay. They try to justify their sin. They try to justify it through Scripture. They try to just eliminate a verse here and there, but make them all right. But no, it's only with Jesus Christ that we can be saved. I'd ask you today, if you confessed Him as your Savior and Lord, He wants to be. He wants to come in and to dwell in your heart and dwell in your life. That when the worst things are going, He'll pick you up. He'll carry you on. When you think you can't go another step, He will carry you. And I'll tell you, that's one thing. When I go up with Rachel and I start to talk about Jesus, she can be a little uppity, but she calms right down. And we pray and talk about Jesus. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." His word is hidden in her heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know what? Nobody can extract it. Nobody can take it away. He's a permanent residence when you get Him. Hallelujah. There's no eviction notice with Jesus. He's there for eternity. And we'll have eternity with Him. I tell you, one of these days, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. I'm ready to jump out and go anytime and raise hallelujah's chorus. It's going to be great joy comes in the morning. Do you have that joy? Do you have that hope? The hope of the Christ. Jesus is His name. Our Holy Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We see it unfold. And Father, it seems so simple that You would send a rescuer this way. But yet it seems, as Mary said, how can this be? And as You said, that all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with You. Father, for the prayers that we have uttered and you have heard, and we know, give us the confidence that You have, as You went to Zacharias and Elizabeth, that You will answer those prayers. We thank You, Father, that we have that hope. We have that hope for eternal life, for eternal forgiveness, eternal security, eternal power, eternal majesty. We look to that day in your throne room when we see You, and we bow down and say, hallelujah, praise You and praise You, Lord. Father, we thank You for meeting our deepest needs in every way. We can't do them ourselves, Lord. We need help. Thank You for giving us the courage to carry on day after day. Father, there may be one here without Jesus to stay. Maybe they've never received Him. We give the opportunity, Father, for them to respond to Your gospel. We thank You, Father, that maybe they would pray that prayer, that, Holy Father, forgive me of my sins. And thank You, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Take up permanent residence in me, Lord. Thank You, Father. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.